You know, one verse of Scripture, I'm going to be over in John again. But one verse of Scripture the Lord has put upon me for this. It's not for just this, but it's just something that I thought about. I was sitting over there, and I wanted to look it up. And I did, and God had showed it to me earlier. It's over in Numbers, and it's in 32:6, and it says this. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit there? You know, that's very powerful. This is not my sermon this morning, but for some reason God had just put that upon my heart. Are you, you know, your brethren are going to war. And it is, and we put on the full armor of God, you know, as mentioned here this morning. We put that on. And then why do we put that on? Because we battle not against flesh and blood. And can I tell you something this morning? God wants all his children in the battle. He wants us all in the battle. Not just some, not just a few. He wants us all in the battle. And can I say this? While other brothers and sisters are going to war, going to battle, it's not right for you just to sit there. It's not right for you just to sit there. I say that about myself. I'll say that about anybody. But we put on the full armor of God for a reason, because we are in a battle today, brothers and sisters. We really are. I'm going to continue on in chapter 12 of John. That's where I'm going to be at this morning. But one of the scriptures that I'm going to read, then I want you, I'm going to start out in John chapter 12, verse 20. But this, one of the scriptures is my main one that I've been using in this kind of like a series is verse number 37. In 12:37. But what it says here in this one, it says this, it goes on to say, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And my question last week and my question this week for everybody is, do you believe? And I'm not talking about a mind belief. I hope you understand that, because the devil believes and trembles, right? The devils believe and tremble. What I'm talking about to you this morning is a true heartfelt belief that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is the one, the brother. The whole book of John, what it goes to, like I told you last week, is he was trying to make the point, because there were some out there that were saying, well, no, Jesus, this wasn't real, this wasn't true. But John's saying, yes, he was the Son of God. He was truly the Son of God. And that was the point of what John's gospel was about. It's like I said, it only covered like 3 weeks of the last 3 weeks of Jesus' life. That's all the book of John covered pretty much. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this is one of the most spiritual books in the Bible, the book of John. If you really want to get into it and look at it, it's one of the most spiritual books in the Bible. If you would, let's stand, let's read this morning's scripture. We're going to start with verse 20 of chapter 12. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answering them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning, Lord. Be with me, Lord. And I pray, Father, for the anointing, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would bring this message forth the way that you would have it, Lord. I pray, Father, for the hearts and souls of those in here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that your will be done and that your word go out and that, Lord, that their minds would be open, Lord, to the teaching of this word this morning. And, Father, we will praise you and give you the glory and the honor for it all. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I recently read the story of a minister. He had died early. He was like 61 years old when he died. He had brain cancer and he ended up passing away. But he had started preaching back in 1968. Well, during his time at preaching, what got me interested in this was he talked about times that he stood behind a pulpit across this land. He was an evangelist and even sometimes across the world. In the pulpits that he stood behind, and what he did, he went and he wrote this book and explained some of the things where he stood behind on the pulpits. And I wrote some of them down because I thought they were kind of interesting. You just bear with me a little bit. He said each pulpit had a unique style about them and a unique look about them. He said there were some that were so small that they couldn't even hold a Bible on them. There were some pulpits like that. Lectern is what my daughter would call this. She'd get on to me for calling it a pulpit, by the way, but anyway, they were so small. There were some that were lopsided. You couldn't even hardly, the Bible wouldn't hardly stay on it. He said he'd preached on pulpits like that. There were some that were held together by duct tape. He said, yeah. He said, you couldn't believe. He said they were held together by duct tape. Some had so many wires strung on around them, he said, you couldn't even move. He said, you would trip. He said, you had to stand still. Still others, one other one had a small sign in the pulpit, and you'll like this, that said, service ends at 12 o'clock exactly, ! And he said it was just a small sign right here where the preacher could see it. He said another one had a sign that said, this wouldn't be for me, do not move around. Had the little sign right there. One of them, Jason, had a digital clock in the back that had a 2-minute warning. After 20 minutes, after 18 minutes, 2-minute warning went off. Said, yeah. Oh, yeah. But this is my point. One of the best ones he ever said he ever preached behind had a little note right here on the pulpit. And it was at Stony Brook College in Long Island, New York. And it said this, sir, we would see Jesus. And he said, he looked at that little sign, and this is part of the scripture I read this morning. And these Greeks came and they said, and they came to Philip of Bethany and they said, desired, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Can I tell you something this morning? My goal is that you would see Jesus this morning. My goal for you this morning, when you go out of this church this morning, when you go to wherever you may go this morning, that the world would see Jesus through you. That the world would know that you are serving Jesus this morning. What a true and powerful message that little sign had right there. It should be a reminder not only to this preacher, but to every preacher out here. It should be a reminder not only to who taught here this morning, but to whoever teaches. And it should be a reminder to each and every one of us in this church this morning. The brothers and sisters, this thing is bigger than just us. It is bigger than just us. Sir, what a profound message. We would see Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that what God wants? As we go about our daily walk of life, remember, there is a lost and a dying world out there that needs to see Jesus in you. I don't care how young you are. If you're claiming to be a Christian here this morning and the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Jesus Christ abounds in you, I don't care how old you are. If you are born again and bought by the blood, the people that you are around every day need to see Jesus in you. They need to see it. And you know what? You may be the only one that's able to reach someone that you're around on this specific day. You may be the only one. My Bible tells me this very simple message. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right? That he may see your good works. No, works don't save you, but brothers and sisters, your good work could help save somebody else. Can I have an amen? As you look at John 12, 20 through 22, it's unique in this aspect. Remember this, when you read this right here, John 12, 20, 22, this is the only place in the gospel that this is mentioned, that this verse of scripture right here is mentioned. What I'm saying, I do not believe there's any other scripture that it, and I don't believe there's any scriptures that's insignificant. So when God puts something in there, I believe if we dig into it deep enough, I believe God will pull out what's needed and give it to us. These Greeks come in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is why I feel that. And you know this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every bit of it. And it's profitable for what? It's profitable for our doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and may I add woman in there, man and woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all, what? Unto all good works. Oh, that we may be, that we may be. And the answer Jesus gave his disciples when they were made aware that these Greeks had come and were saying, we would see Jesus. We want to talk. Do you realize that Jesus never talked to them directly in this right here? It doesn't say that he talked to them directly. It said that he answered his disciples. What he told them, the answer that he gave them, is still having an impact on everybody in the world today. You see, Jesus didn't talk to them. They were Greek proselytes, is who they were, directly. And there was a reason. At this time, Jesus had only come to the nation of Israel. That's all he had came to at this time. Remember in Matthew 15, whenever the Canaan woman had came to him, remember her daughter was possessed with a demon? And she had begged Jesus to heal her. And she would not even stop, she wouldn't even stop asking. She kept following, asking Jesus to heal her, to get this demon out of her. And at first he wouldn't even acknowledge her. And the disciples even told Jesus, send this woman away. Send her, get her away from us. She's not a Jew. But then this happened. Jesus explained something to her, and he said this in Matthew 15, 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. At this time, Jesus was only sent to them. Jesus also said in John chapter 10, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. At this time, there was other sheep. And this is, you know, this is a metaphor. There was other sheep, but at that time, they were not of the fold yet. But they were coming. And this time, Jesus' ministry was to bring the nation of Israel salvation. That's what he was supposed to do at this time. We Gentiles, whether you know it or not, at that time, we're without hope. How many of you realize that? And you're saying, well, how do you know that? Well, in Ephesians 2, 11 and 15, it tells us that. And I'm just going to read the first part of it. It says this in Ephesians. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise. Having no hope without God in the world, in this world. We didn't have any hope. And I'll get to the rest of it here in a little bit. Now, verse 23 in John tells us that Jesus answered him saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. How was Jesus to be glorified? Well, Jesus was to be glorified because Jesus was going to die on a cross. And you may say, how would that glorify anybody? Well, praise God. He didn't come into Jerusalem that day to be set up as a king. He came into Jerusalem that day to save the lost and dying souls of the world. Praise God. Do you know something that I truly believe? Jesus Christ, if he had to, would have went to that cross just for me. Amen? If nobody else in this church or nobody else in the world would have accepted him, Patty, he went to that cross just for me. He went to that cross just for Jamie. He went to that cross. I could go around this church here this morning. Anybody that has been born again, anybody that has been saved, you know within your heart that Jesus Christ went to that cross for you. You found that out one day, did you not? Anyway, he was to be glorified. And praise the name. It says right there in the scripture, whenever Jesus answered them, he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. His hour had come. His hour had come. And through his death and resurrection, we were able to come to the Father. Now let's finish up John 10, 16. And other sheep have I which are not in the fold. Them also I must bring in. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be what? One fold. And there shall be one shepherd. Praise God this morning. I don't know about you, but I, like I said last week, I am a Gentile. And praise God, I was in that part of that fold that wasn't part of it at the time. But praise God, whenever the work of reconciliation had been done, I want to tell you this morning, I am part of that fold this morning. And you know what? You may be here this morning and you may think that you have no hope. That you may think that there, that you know what? I do not know Jesus as my Savior. Can I tell you something? He died on the cross that you may be part of that fold also. Yes, he did. And you know what? Something else this morning I may say, and I want to say this with all the love of my heart. If you're not sure that you are born again this morning, you're not born again this morning. Because it is a no-so salvation. You know this morning where you stand with Jesus Christ. And it says over in Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, 11 through 15, let me finish up the last part of that. I'm going to read it all again. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh by the hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has both won and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished the flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Before I go any farther, let me tell you what Paul's trying to say there. At one time in the Temple Mount, there was a place just for the Gentiles to go in. They couldn't go no farther. There was a wall. It had a sign on it that said, anybody that goes past this that's not a Jew shall be put to death. What Paul was saying is that, you know what? Whenever Jesus went to die on the cross, whenever he rose again, that wall was broken down. That barrier was broken down. And praise God, I want you to know something here this morning. You do not have to worry about what man says this morning. The ordinances that he's talking about are man-made laws that they had made up back then. Do you know in the Old Testament, it never once had that in the New Testament where there should be a place for the Gentiles. Did you know that? It wasn't back there. They put it in later. Paul said the ordinance of men, he said, what men put in there is not what God intended, Orlita. Praise God this morning. I want you to know something. When Jesus died, he broke them all down. There used to be just a place in there just for women. There used to be just a place in there for this. There used to be just a place in there for that. Praise God, when he died, the veil was torn. And you no longer just have to go to a certain place. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Praise God this morning. You know what? When my Bible tells me we can go to the throne of grace boldly. You can go to the throne of grace boldly this morning. You don't have to worry about whether you're male or female or what. Maybe God, you don't have to worry about any of that. Because praise God, he died, and whenever he died and he rose again, I want you to know he set that. He broke down those walls. We no longer have those walls through Jesus Christ. Listen, they and like I said, they placed a sign there that said anybody who goes past this point would be put to death. when Jesus was glorified, that come down. When God looks on a Christian, you know what he sees? He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he sees. He doesn't see any of this. He doesn't see any of the other nonsense. If you're saved here this morning, when he looks upon you, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ upon you. Because if it wasn't there, if the blood's not there, guess what? Guess what? No, there's no hope for you. There's still no hope for you. I'm just here to tell you this morning, it takes knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Whenever some people would take that verse of Scripture and say, well, it's where God did away with the law. That's not what that verse of Scripture means. If you dig into it, it's not that. It's the ordinance. It's the man-made laws. It's the man-made things that people made up. That's what God tore down. And said, so the Jews are rejecting Jesus. As they're rejecting Jesus right here, the door for the Gentiles is opening up. That should make everybody in here shout and praise the Lord this morning. Because that is us this morning. And not only that, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that what? That believe on his name. Praise his name this morning. Isn't it amazing for us as Gentiles? Isn't it amazing this morning that now listen to this, that we showed up at his birth and at his death, right? There came wise men from the east. They weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. There come Greeks seeking that we should see Jesus. They were coming from the west. Praise his name this morning. Isn't it amazing that we had Gentiles come from the east, Gentiles come from the west, and their main goal was to see Jesus? How about you this morning? How about you this morning? Let me ask you something. Do you wish to see Jesus this morning? Can I tell you something? My God tells me that he said he come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you come with a heart desiring to see Jesus this morning, and let me take it one step farther. If you come here this morning with a heart and a desire to get closer to Jesus this morning, I'm telling you, you can get closer to Jesus this morning. I'm telling you, if you come with a heart that full of repentance this morning, you can be saved this morning. That's the God that we serve. His ministry was bookended by non-Jewish people. That's why wise men and wise women. This is something that you see at Christmas time. But wise men still seek Jesus. You know what? Wise people today will still seek Jesus. It doesn't matter whether it's Christmas. It doesn't matter when it is. You'll still seek Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. And ye shall seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with what? All of your heart. All of your heart. There's some people, and I know this because I've seen it, they come to these altars and they get up and they go away from this altar unsatisfied. And you know what I say? I say they didn't search for him with all their heart. They were holding something back in here. Because I'm telling you, it takes giving it all to him. Everything. Letting him have every bit of you. And I'm telling you, that's a hard thing for men to do. That's hard for men to do, but I'm telling you, you cannot do it on your own. You've got to come up and give it all to him and let him have it all, and he will do every bit of the work that needs to be done in your life. And he will lift you up and bring your feet and take your feet out of the miry clay, as they used to say, and set it upon a firm foundation. The message John is trying to get across in these verses is, he is a Savior for all. Can I have an amen? John 3:16, the verse that you'll see probably at the Super Bowl, you'll see it everywhere. But praise God, I'm glad it's out there. The world knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? They should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that an amazing God that we serve? Isn't that an awesome God that we serve? Now these Greeks came wanting to talk to Jesus. And let's look and continue with the answer, what he gave them. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him shall my Father honor. What did Jesus give an answer about a kernel of wheat? If you look at a kernel of wheat, and we know, and this is what he's talking about, is wheat. It looks dead. It looks insignificant. There's nothing of that thing is special of that. But we know, anybody in here that's ever planted a garden knows, when you take that dead seed, it looks dead, and you put it in the ground, or you entomb it. You entomb that thing in the ground, and after a certain amount of time, what's going to happen? There's going to come up out of the ground a stalk. And they're going to come up out of the ground, and on that stalk, there's going to be plenty of harvest on top of that. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is telling him, he always tried to make things simple for people. And we got to remember, why didn't he just go back in the Old Testament and tell them? Because he was talking to Greeks. He was talking to Gentiles. He wanted to tell them something. Give them something to try to understand. And everybody understood farming back then. They put the seed in the ground. He said, listen, they're going to put me in the ground. They're going to entomb me. They're going to kill me. They're going to entomb me. But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to come up out of that tomb one day. I'm coming up out of that tomb. After a certain amount of time, I'm coming out of there. And when I come out of there, praise God, it said, what's going to happen is the word of salvation is going to go out, and it's going to go out to a lost and dying world, whether it be Gentile, whether it be Jew, it's going to all of them. He said, I put a seed in the ground, brothers and sisters. They're going to kill me. They're going to put me in the ground. And I said, I'm going to come forth. Praise his name. Why didn't he just quote it? Because he was talking to Gentiles. He never preached or taught above the understanding of anyone he's ever heard. Never did. He always, listen, if you're like me sometimes, you know, you get the word of God, and there are times that I have, a while later, like I told you, God will show me. But God has to show me. He does. And whenever he shows me, that's whenever it sinks in and I grab a hold of it. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered that these things were written of him. So he answered them like that. That's the reason he did it. Salvation would come to all mankind, not just to the Jews. Not just to the Jews. Salvation would come to all man. Listen, can I tell you something about Jesus? I wrote this down because I thought this was very interesting. Salvation would come to all mankind, not just to the Jews. Jesus' holiness, Jesus' righteousness, his purity could not save mankind. Did you know that? It couldn't save mankind. It took him dying. It took his blood being shed. It took him being placed in a tomb. It took him rising again. That's the only thing that could brought salvation. Listen, those attributes that I'm talking about of Jesus, they showed men that they needed a Savior, right? He was without sin. He was without sin. We know that the Scripture tells us that. His holiness, all that stuff. But that didn't save man. It took him dying on the cross. It took his blood. As I told you, whenever God looks down, he looks down. He's not looking down on righteousness and holiness and all that. He's looking down to see if the blood's there. And if the blood is there, praise his name. Praise his name. You're a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. It's pretty clear the point he's trying to get across is, and to pay attention about. It said, I would say it, and it's very important. There's two different words used for life here. Did you understand? Whenever he says this right here, I wrote these down. For if any man loveth his life, he shall and shall lose it. And if he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There's two different words for life right there being used. One of them is the life, is your life right now, the life that you're living on this planet right now. That's the first two uses of it right there. The last one is spiritual life. That's your spiritual, that's your eternal life right there. And John brought those, and John was bringing those points across. He's saying, he said, listen, it, for those who pursue a life with that's materialistic and a mind frame of that, he said, listen, you're going to miss out on the spiritual side of it. If that's all that you're intended to do, if that's all that you want is stuff in this life, if that's all you care about is the things in this life, you're going to miss out on the spiritual life. That's why he said what he did there. He said, if he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal, life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Wherein I am, there shall also my servants be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. One of the greatest things in the Bible is that whenever Jesus said, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Listen, brothers, if you're serving him, if you're serving him the way that you should serve him, he's right there with you, walking with you each and every day. Amen? He's right there. That's why he said, my servants will be with me. My servants will know what to do. Brothers, we get ourselves in trouble sometimes when we do it on our own. I've heard that said here this morning. Amen? Do we not? We get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble when we do things on our own. And I tell you, this preacher right here is one of them that can tell you, can attest to it. I can attest to it. That note up there didn't say I couldn't move, right?
That's right.
Praise his Lord this morning. Praise God this morning. Can I tell you something this morning? God loves each and every individual in here this morning. He wants you to serve him with all your heart and soul. He wants you to do that. He wants you to come to acknowledge of him and to hold him dear in your heart. That's what he wants. That's what the scripture here. Listen, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Now, let me ask you before I close here this morning. Everybody that's been around you this week, would they say, we see Jesus in you? Let me ask you that. I'm not trying to be, to put you down, because we all fail. Brother, sister, I do believe that we should try to be better, don't you? Can I have an amen? We should try to be better than what we do. Are they seeing Jesus in you? Or are they seeing you in the? Or are they seeing you in you? I can tell you, there have been times people have seen me, they've not seen Jesus. I tell this story, and I'm going to tell it again because maybe somebody in here has not heard it. Me and my son one time went to the subway up on South Parkersburg one time. And we went in there, and the girl in there was just, she was just, I guess, just having a bad day, but she did not want to wait on us, and she was just real short and stuff. And I let me come out. Yeah, I did, and I'm ashamed of it. I mean, I jumped right down her throat. I did. I'm going to be honest with you. I told her, I said, if you don't want to wait on us, I said, get out of here. I said, give me somebody that will. And you know, that girl started crying, went out of there, and somebody else came up there. And to this day, I've never been able to find that girl to apologize to her. I'm telling you, we would see Jesus. Amen? They didn't see Jesus in me that day. I'm sorry. I'm not standing up here bragging about it or saying I'm not proud about it a bit. As a matter of fact, it still hurts. It still hurts. Because I let my temper get away from me. The Lord saved me a long time ago. I've had a bad temper. I have. I've got a bad one. It takes a lot. And people have to push me to a lot to an extent. But I say, God, help me keep it under control. That's what I want. We would see Jesus. How about you? How about you? We would see Jesus. Is he seeing it in you this morning?